One of the challenges that we have with the Christmas story is how familiar we've become with it. If you're here tonight and you're not familiar with the Christmas story, you're at somewhat of an advantage in a way because you can hear it fresh, right? It's hard to get back to the original experience for Mary and Joseph. What was it like? There's so many layers of tradition that can be built up over time that we can lose how striking and stunning this all was. And there are two dangers for those of us, especially that have grown up in the church. We've heard this dozens of times, maybe hundreds of times, depending on how old you are. And the two dangers are that we can either become skeptical or sentimental, right? Those are the two dangers. On the one hand, we might become skeptical. We might think, you know, hearing about angels, are you kidding me? Really? Angels? Is this a fairy tale? Is this just wishful thinking? Is this some kind of mythology that's developed over time? God becoming a human virgin birth? Come on. Come on. On the other hand, many of us can become sort of inebriated with sentimentality, right? We can, you know, words like Mary and child and Emmanuel, they can all kind of take on a sort of soft glow that keeps us from being stunned by these things as we should be. Tonight we heard the Christmas story in three parts from the Gospel of Matthew. And if we can hear this story the way it was originally heard, the way that things originally took place, then it's going to challenge us. It'll challenge not only our skepticism, but it will challenge us in our sentimentality, and it will show us how to truly respond to these amazing events. Let's start with skepticism. Some skeptics would claim that what Matthew writes here is nothing more than myth. But the way that Matthew writes his gospel, in fact, if you go back to the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, it's not in the style, the genre of myth at all in any sense. In fact, he begins with a genealogy. He begins with a meticulous list of Jesus' family line. What he's saying, really what Matthew's saying is, look, Jesus Christ is a historical person. This is his family. These are the people that he came from. These are his ancestors. And he writes in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. This is a carefully researched account. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So listen, if you're a skeptic tonight, Joseph was too, right? At some point, look, Joseph, can you imagine what it was like to be Joseph? He's got a teenage fiance who's gotten pregnant, and it's not by him, right? Matthew tells us it's by the Holy Spirit, but how is Joseph supposed to know that? Maybe Mary had told him about what she knew about all of this. We don't know how much he knew, but he doesn't seem to be convinced, does he? I mean, if he were absolutely convinced, why would he proceed with a divorce? A betrothal was more serious than an engagement. It was more like a marriage commitment, and he broke it off. He was planning to do that anyway. I mean, who wouldn't in this situation? And so he has some doubts, but Matthew tells us that Joseph was a, quote, just, unquote, man. He was a righteous man. He was a good man, and so his plan is, I'm going to break this off quietly because I'm going to protect Mary. I don't want to shame her publicly. He's a good man, but he's also a thoughtful man. He's a thoughtful man. Matthew tells us in verse 20 about Joseph, he says, as he considered these things. What does it mean to consider? It means to think. Right? So if you're a skeptic, you might think, you know, these ancient Near Eastern folks were very gullible. They didn't think too much about these things. No, Joseph was someone who considered these things. He thought carefully. He deliberated. That's what this word means. He deliberated about these things. He reflected on them. He was not a stupid man. He was not a gullible man. He was a thoughtful man. And so, look, if you're a skeptic tonight, my encouragement to you is to consider these things. Like Joseph did, don't write this story off, research it. Think it over carefully. Matthew tells us, verse 20, as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I don't know what kind of dreams you've had in your life. If you've ever had a dream that you remember your whole life, imagine having a dream that changes your entire life forever from that day forward. That's exactly what happened to Joseph with this dream. Think about what the content is of this dream. This child is conceived by the Holy Spirit, and the child is human. She will bear a son. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, this child is God. She will bear a son. This child is human. God, man, Jesus. There's no category for this, right? There's no framework in his mind to understand what he has just had revealed to him in this dream. There's no historical precedent for the virgin birth. And we might think, again, that, you know, someone living in Joseph's day, you know, they would be it'd be easier to accept this idea of a virgin birth. But remember that Joseph is Jewish. The idea that this creator God who made everything would become a human was unthinkable. It was unthinkable for somebody like Joseph, as it is for many of us. And yet it was entirely biblical. Matthew tells us, verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So 700 years approximately before this, God had spoken through his prophet Isaiah, spoken about this and communicated that this would happen, that a virgin would become pregnant and bear a son who would be called Emmanuel, God with us. You see, what Matthew's doing is he's appealing to the skeptical. And what he's saying is, in effect, look, God had this planned. God planned this from the beginning. And we see it in his word. Hundreds of years beforehand, God spoke, and it's being fulfilled. And so we see this prophetic fulfillment. You know, we see this all over the Gospel of Matthew. In fact, the three readers that we had who read for us, we see all kinds of prophecy being fulfilled there. Ancient prophecies like where Jesus was born and the fact that his parents would flee to Egypt as refugees and this terrible massacre of children in Bethlehem and Jesus growing up in Nazareth. All of these things were foretold. They were prophesied of hundreds of years in advance. And so if you're a skeptic tonight, one thing to consider is, look, all of these prophecies that were made hundreds of years before Jesus' birth, they were all fulfilled in meticulous precision in a way that could only happen by the hand of a sovereign God. So now you come back to Joseph. When Joseph woke from this unforgettable dream, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So evidently, Joseph's skepticism was over. He woke up a non-skeptic about all this. He woke up a believer. He woke up a changed man. This dream had changed all, melted away all of his skepticism. How do we know that? Because of what he said? No, he didn't say anything. But it's what he did. Look at what he did. We're told that he did everything that was commanded of him. He took Mary as his wife. He refrained from intimacy with her until after the baby was born. He gave the name that was told to him by the angel, the name Jesus, which means the Lord saves. He gave the child this name. For those, you know, for those of us who read this story from a sentimental, through a sentimental lens, consider what it meant for Joseph to marry his pregnant teenage fiance during that time. Just imagine what that would have meant for Joseph, for them, right? They're in this small, close-knit community. Imagine the rumors. I mean, imagine the scandal. I mean, imagine their whole lives, they would have had to live with that questionable reputation because she had gotten pregnant before they were married. And so, in the Gospel of John, the religious leaders, they say about Jesus, they say, we weren't born of sexual immorality. His whole life, not only Joseph and Mary's lives, but Jesus' whole life, that stigma was attached to him. The scandal followed him. Not only this, but Mary and Joseph, look, not only the betrothal with all of the difficulty and all of the pain and all of the misunderstandings of the community around them, but also once this baby's born, as it was read for us earlier, they had to run for their lives from Herod to Egypt. I mean, they had, and many other difficulties that we read about when in the Christmas story that we see in Luke, the census and the travel and the pregnancy and no room in the inn and all of those difficulties that come with that. And so when we read this Christmas story, and I hope you do, I hope you gather the kids around and you read this Christmas story. But when you do that, I mean, when we do that, often it's what? It's in a warm living room next to a beautiful Christmas tree like this one, and the presents are there, and you've got some hot cocoa or some eggnog and some Christmas carols playing in the background. But look, if we want to get back to the raw, hard edges of this story, I mean, we'd be better off like reading it in the garage, on the concrete, right? By flashlight, gather the kids around, because that will feel more like the events that happened during this time. It was hard, it was cold, it was difficult, it was fearful. This story, look, to get back to the reality of it, this, to take away, to strip away the sentimental varnish, what you find is something awesome, something wonderful, something raw, something not sentimental in the least. And that's good news for people who need truth, not sentimentality. This Christmas story is at the same time full of piercing glory and dreadful darkness. It's a story of human goodness and human evil. It's a story of a holy God breaking into humanity in the person of his Son to do what? Look, this is why Jesus came. This is the message of Christmas, why you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. What is sin? To sin is to reject or ignore God. In the world that he created, sin is to the failure to do and be all that God requires in his law. That's sin. And look, nothing blows away sentimentality on the one hand, and nothing blows away skepticism. Look, nothing blows away sentimentalism like the understanding that you and I are sinners in need of a Savior. And nothing melts away skepticism like knowing that God has provided that Savior that we need. And so Joseph, he understood this, which is why he obeyed everything. He obeyed everything. He gave the child the name the angel commanded him, Jesus, which means the Lord saves. Look, for a man to name his child was a big deal. It is today for parents to do that, but especially for a man, for a father to name his son was a big deal. Why? Naming his son meant that he has authority and care over his son. But look, Joseph doesn't name his son. Joseph is given the name that he will give to his son by the Lord through an angel. What does that mean? That means, look, Joseph, You're going to be his dad now, but there's going to be a time when he is in authority over you. Joseph understood and knew and believed that this child was more than a baby, that he was the Savior. And as the wise men, right, we've read about the wise men, as the wise men would come to acknowledge that he was not, that he was a king. That he was a king. Do you know that about Jesus today? Do you see him as merely a baby? Do you see him as more? Do you see him as a Savior and Lord and King? Because that is what he is. And that is what Matthew is telling us in his gospel. It's easy to become sentimental about Jesus as a baby, and it doesn't change your life at all. But if you understand Jesus as Savior, as Lord, as King, well, then you can't help but change your life. Your life will never be the same when you meet him as he truly is, and he changes you as only he can do. If we're going to keep reading the Gospel of Matthew, you'd see that Jesus' birth was only the beginning. You keep reading, you see that Jesus was in fact born to die in place of sinners, to pay the penalty of sin, to reconcile us to a holy God. What is, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. That's why he came. That's why he came. Emmanuel came to be with us. He who is truly God was born as truly man to die for us, to rise again for us so that we could be with God forever. This is what George Whitefield, the preacher from years past, said, quote, Jesus was God and man in one person, that God and man, including women in that humanity, human beings, and God might be happy together again. That's the purpose. That's the message of the Christmas story. That's the truth that can change your life. If you respond to it, not with skepticism, not with sentimentality, but with submission. That's what Joseph did. He submitted, he obeyed, he did what he was told. And look, that good news, this good news can melt away your skepticism, your sentimentality, if you respond like Joseph did in faith and in obedience. Submission to Jesus Christ, not only as the baby who was born, but as Emmanuel, God with us, the one who came to save us from our sins and reign over our lives as King.